good case. But again, all of these cases, hopefully what we're doing is we're increasing our understanding of what these liberties are and rights that we all take for granted. Because in this case, the court does some heavy, heavy analysis. Before we can get to what the SCOTUS does, I want to know what happened that gave rise to litigation. I'm going to put Tom on the spot. Did you do the case?
Yeah, I'm just going to take my time.
Briefly, okay. What was the major issue of contention? What happened?
So, U.S. Marine Matthew A. Snyder.
Yeah.
He was killed during service in Iraq.
Okay, so we have a dead soldier. Okay.
He was buried near his home in Westminster, Maryland.
Okay, so he's buried in Maryland. Yeah.
And the Westboro Baptist Church organized and carried out a protest at the funeral.
At his funeral?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a violent protest?
No.
Did they flip over cars? Did they set buildings on fire?
No.
Was there any looting?
No.
Any assaults or batteries?
No.
Any late students come to class? It's okay, no, so it was we could call it, Tom, a peaceful protest. Okay, good. Did they violate any local laws?
No,
they did not. And I'm just curious as to how deep you went. Where were they protesting? All right, help. Where was he protesting? I think your hand went up first.
1,000 feet away or something.
Okay, so they were protesting, but they were 1,000 feet away from the church. How far, to give us a mental image, is 1,000 feet?
It's like over there.
Like that red car?
No. It's like 3 football fields.
3 football fields? How many yards is a football field?
100.
How many feet in a yard?
3 something.
Like 3 something-ish.
You think it's meters?
So multiply that by 3.
That's like 3.2 or something.
So it's a good distance away. Now, by the way, why were they there? In the location that they were in, what did they actually do?
The church is known for like.
No. The church choosing the location. They were where they were for a reason.
Well, because, like, he was a soldier that, like, died.
No.
Public land.
They were on public land, but how did they know to get there?
Oh, the cops told them.
They actually asked the cops. So they actually asked the cops, where can we go? The cops told them, look, there's public land over there. By the way, what would have happened if they would have been on private land?
They would have gotten trouble.
Oh. Why? What are they doing? They would be trespassing. So they went to public land where the police actually told them to go. Do you disagree, Tom?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, so we got the scene laid out pretty well. What does the dad of the dead soldier have to do with this?
He was involved with the church.
He was involved with the church?
Schneider's father?
Schneider's father. Because ultimately, he's the one who sues the church. But what happened to him that potentially could give him grounds to sue the church? Did he see the protest on his way to the church?
Nobody told him he saw the top of the sign.
So he saw a protest. He saw the top of the signs, but did he see the signs? So he knew something was going on, but he had no idea what it was. Now, question. Have you ever driven by something in a car when people were out doing stuff and you just happen to drive by? Do you know in that moment exactly what they're doing? No, it's okay, a bunch of people doing something, probably don't. When did he find out exactly what they were doing?
On the news.
When on the news?
At night.
After the funeral was all done. So he knew there was something going on. He couldn't put two to two together. He didn't pay much attention to it. But he's sitting at home at night and he sees it on the news. And he's like, oh my God. All right, so after the oh my God moment, what does he decide to do? He decides to sue.
Good job, Tom, thank you. All right, question.
Where did the incident happen? What state?
Maryland.
Maryland. Where was Westboro Baptist Church from? You can do a Google search real quick. Westboro Baptist
Church.
Kansas. All right. So the incident happened in Maryland. There, from Kansas, Kansas is KX, right? Or is it KN? I think it's KS.
KS.
Where did Schneider's dad live?
Maryland.
Okay. So the incident happened in Maryland. The original plaintiff is from Maryland. But the defendant is in Kansas. What would be the proper venue for a civil claim? State court or federal court?
State.
Why state?
Because there's a place in Maryland locally.
Does the state court in Maryland have any jurisdiction over the defendants who are from Kansas?
No.
No. Tom, what did you say?
Federal
court. Why federal?
It was definitely federal.
And by the way, it stated the nature of this case. If you have a civil suit, because by the way, is this a criminal case?
No.
No, this is a civil case, because what does the dad want?
Money.
When you have a civil suit between parties that are in different states, and it exceeds $75,000, what type of case is that called? Did it. That's the reason why I spent like the first month going over all this stuff, because we're going to see all this in all the cases.
Wait, can you repeat the question here?
What is the name of the type of case?
Diversity of citizenship.
Diversity of citizenship. This is a diversity case. And remember, a diversity case involves parties from different civil suits that involve parties from different states
and the plaintiff is seeking damages over $75,000. Okay, and by the way, just as a point of review, even though the incident happened in Maryland, remember, Maryland only has jurisdiction over the people who live in Maryland. If someone's out of the state, they can't force them to come in. So that's why he went to federal district court, because what's the jurisdictional reach of the federal court system? From sea to shining sea. All right. So, this is a civil case. Is there a jury involved?
Yes.
Yes, there is. What did the dad sue for? What was his claims?
Emotional distress, intentional emotional distress.
All right, so that's one of the claims. Intentional infliction of emotional distress. That's one.
Didn't he also claim like physical harm because he like had health problems?
Nope. Looking for the claims that he's suing for.
Defamation.
Okay, he's suing for defamation. What else was he suing for?
Civil conspiracy.
Civil conspiracy. What else was he suing for?
Publicity given to private life.
Isn't it publicity?
Yeah.
Publicity to private life. Anything else?
Intrusion upon seclusion.
Intrusion upon seclusion. Great. By the way, FYI. If you're going to sue someone for money, a civil suit, you have to have claims. Just like if it's a criminal case, there are charges, specific violations of law. All of these things are called torts. And what the torts are essentially areas where the courts have decided you could sue someone for money. All right. Questions? Now, here is where I'm going to go slow, and you might have to take out your Google machines, and we might have to do a little bit of searching. Because I've not made you do this yet. But it's Friday, and I don't feel like crushing us too much, so I know playing on our phones is not hard. I want to, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I want you two to look up intrusion upon seclusion. I want to know what the plaintiff has to show. So you're looking up the elements. I would like you two to look up intentional infliction of emotional distress. I would like you two to look up defamation. You two can look up publicity to, or publicizing, that's not, I didn't write it right. Hold on. Publicity given to private life. That's what it is. Publicity given to private life. And I'll handle civil conspiracy. Good, you can work with a partner, go into your Google search, see if you can find all the elements. Because all of the elements are the things that the plaintiff needs to be able to prove by a preponderance of the evidence. for group work, there's not a lot of talking going on.
We have telepathy.
Oh, outstanding. So oftentimes the elements are more than what it means, but rather, what must you show? Who's my defamation people? Those two. I'm going to make them go first. That's okay. No rush. You might want to compare notes. So, if plaintiff wants to make a claim for defamation, all right, what must plaintiff prove? What would be the first element of the tort of defamation?
A false statement purporting to be the fact.
Okay, perfect. So, in order, oh, by the way, what is defamation?
The act of communicating to a third party false statements about a person that results in damage to
okay.
that person's reputation.
So basically you're going to say something to somebody else and it's going to hurt their reputation. All right, good, good. So in order to be liable for defamation, defendant must, you said, make a false statement?
Yes.
Okay. But what about that false statement? What is that defendant claiming that false statement actually is?
To be a fact.
False is fact. Okay, excellent. What's the second element?
A publication or communication of that statement to a third person.
So there has to be a publication or communication to a third person. What does that mean?
Telling it to somebody else.
Okay, telling it to somebody else. Why couldn't you just tell the person themselves?
Because therefore it wouldn't be portraying it to a third party.
Sorry, say it again?
It wouldn't be publicating it to a third party.
Well, I got that, but why do you think the element of this tort requires it to go beyond just the two parties?
Because if it's said between
like me and you, I could deny it, my reputation would be fine, instead of someone else, their views on me could change, and that could be damaged.
So what is one's reputation? Is it your opinion of yourself?
No, your others' opinions of yourself.
Others. So if you say this falsity to someone else, that other person could view you negatively.
Oh. Okay. What's next?
Fault amounting to at least negligence.
Equals at a minimum negligence. What does that mean?
It leads to something that hurts the other person.
Yeah, you have to do something that could actually hurt
the other person. Anything else?
Damages or some harm caused to the reputation of the person or entity who is subject.
Damages, harm. By the way, doesn't it have to be provable?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would be an example? If I was to make something up about you and tell somebody else, what would be an example of harm to your reputation?
That, like, I'm calling you a thief, and then people start thinking that you're a thief.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So therefore you don't get a job because you could think you're a thief.
There you go, there's provable harm. You could be denied a job because of reputation going around social media, right? You guys grew up in the age of social media. Think of how many nasty things your evil schoolmates said to one another. Well, what happens if a potential employer goes on social media, looks you up, and finds out, sees those posts? You could potentially lose out on a job, yeah? And is that, could you prove that that's harmful? Yeah. You guys, your generation, many of you, not in good positions because of the stuff that's easily discoverable.
All right. Perfect. Anything else? No. That's it.
Was plaintiff Schneider able to prove enough evidence, produce enough evidence to support a claim for defamation?
No, he was not.
Was anything on those signs a falsity that harmed the dad's reputation? They shed everything that was on all the signs that were there. Was anything a falsity that could harm the dad's reputation?
Technically, no. He's mostly criticizing America.
He's not criticizing Schneider, the dad, because it's Schneider, the dad, who's suing, claiming defamation. The signs are criticizing Merco.
So, thank you for doing the research, but there is no provable claim.
So that was knocked out on summary judgment.
Next up is publicity given to private life. Who had that? All right, what do you got for elements?
So the elements, there's four. One is public disclosure. Two is private facts.
Hold on.
Sorry. Public disclosure. Disclosure. I can't even spell. Disclosure. There we go. Okay, so we're doing something in public. What are we publicizing?
Private information.
Private info. Okay.
And three is highly offensive to a reasonable person.
Highly offensive. Bring in that reasonable person standard. What does that mean? What would be a reasonable person?
Court decides is a reasonable person?
No, it's not what the court decides is a reasonable person. What is a reasonable person?
The average American.
It's just the every average day person. So if you were to walk up to someone on the street that you did not know, that had no idea what was going on, and say something, are they going to sit back and be like, "Oh!" Anything else?
Yes. Lack of legitimate public interest.
Lack of legit public interest.
I think we get the public disclosure down. We don't have to have any questions on that one. I think we all can figure out what private information is, yeah? We've already talked about that. What do you mean by legit public interest?
The information disclosed must not be of legitimate public concern. If the information is deemed newsworthy or of public interest, such as a public figure's conduct related to their public role, it may not be protected under this tort.
Oh, so let's say that, give me an athlete.
LeBron James,
right? He makes lots of money through supporting commercial ventures, advertising. Let's just say that he, as a public figure, gets caught from participating in P. Diddy's little private sex parties. With the release of that information, be private or public, because by the way, the list is going to come down, and it's going to bring a lot of people down when it comes out. Why would that be public?
Since he's being investigated, the coordinates, you know, the list.
Well, not only that, why would that disclosure that LeBron went to those sex parties, why would that be public relative to the public interest?
Because he's a public figure and the public are, like, interested in what he does.
Good way of doing words out. No, think about it. He's famous. What can famous people get individuals to potentially do?
They have a lot of social influence.
They get social influence.
You mean they do things they don't want to do?
They can do something that maybe they wouldn't do otherwise. Go out and buy a product. Go out and buy a sports channel. Go out and buy a jersey. Well, are you going to want to advertise an athlete who is a dirtbag? Would you have bought the jersey if you knew he was a dirtbag? Now, by the way, I don't know if he's actually on the list. I'm just using that as a hypothetical example.
So in that instance, his behavior would be of the public interest, yeah? What happened here? What was Westboro Baptist Church doing?
They were protesting the funeral, but the funeral was in the paper. So it's kind of public info.
So were they publicizing anything that was private? No. So guess what happened to this claim?
Drops.
Knocked out in summary judgment.
Oh, that was dumb. Why did I use my hands? I was just lazy.
All right, look at that. Two of the five torts gone.
So let's go to intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Who has that?
All right. So you two are up.
What must plaintiff show in order to have a legitimate claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress?
Extreme.
You got that cut in the grass.
Okay. It has to. The defendant's being asked to be
sure. Alright, so defendant must do an act
that equals extreme.
Okay, anything else?
The defendant must have acted with intent to cause emotional distress.
Alright, act equal intentional. Okay, anything else?
the car that has to be directly caused, has to directly cause the initial injury.
That's called causation of what?
Emotional distress.
Emotional distress. Anything else?
There has to be proof, like medical records.
Oh yeah, and proof of what?
Emotional distress.
Proof of. Anything else? Good, because I just put the cover on because I knew you were done. All right, great. Question. What does intent refer to in terms of action? That's open to both of you.
Like meaning to do it.
Meaning to do the specific act. So, if you were to trip while walking upstairs, would that be an intentional act? No, that would be an accidental act, right? So you can't do something accidentally. You have to mean to do the specific act. Okay, good. I believe the actual element says that the action must be extreme and outrageous. What does that mean?
Dangerous.
Would that be an extreme and outrageous act?
No.
Why not?
Because it was an eye.
Okay, but why is that not extreme and outrageous? It was I even trying to hurt you?
Yeah.
If I went up and I went, wham! Could that be extreme?
Oh, yes.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So something that is extreme and outrageous, it could be something that shocks the conscious, right? That makes somebody who's looking at it go, oh, damn, oh! Okay. Causation. The extreme and outrageous intentional act must cause the emotional distress. What does that mean?
Must be the reason it's happening.
Okay, so if I, take a sledgehammer and smash someone's hood of their car on the left side of the street, and you see me do it, but on the other side of the street, a little child that has nothing to do with what I'm doing runs out into the other lane and gets hit by a car. You read about it in the newspaper, and you get a sad. So you assume. Did what I do cause you to feel sad? What was the cause that made you feel sad? It was reading about the little girl. So there has to be a link. It has to be a direct link. Okay. Question. Oh, and by the way, proof. Proof of emotional stress. What do we mean by that?
Like how to prove it?
Yeah, how would you prove that you have emotional distress?
Getting
a receipt that you went to CVS and got a box of tissues? Is that enough? Mm-hmm. No.
There could be medical records or like a psychological evaluation.
Oh, so we're not just talking merely you had a sad moment. You're talking about someone who is so agonized that they may have to get help. Go to a psychiatrist. Maybe get institutionalized. Get put on medication. Okay, good. Question. Did what the Baptist Church do, was that an intentional act? They were out protesting. They meant to do it. Was, to a reasonable person, the act of protesting a dead soldier's funeral, was that extreme and outrageous? Again, remember, it's a reasonable person standard.
Yes.
I think the vast majority of people in our country, regardless of the cause of the war, would sat back and be like, that's just not right.
All right. Did the father have emotional distress?
Yes.
How do you know?
I don't know.
It actually references it in the case. Did he go get help?
No.
Actually, I think there was reference that he did.
Yes, he was unable to separate the thought of his dead son from the thoughts of what's going on at the beginning.
Yeah, so the moment he saw it on TV, every time he thought of the picketing, he thought of his dead son. That caused trauma. He had to go to counseling, right? He had to get put on medication. And did not present expert testimony that said? Okay, so there we go. We have proof that he has emotional distress and simultaneously I mentioned causation. They were doing something that was extreme and outrageous, and they meant to do it. But for their acts, he would not have felt that way. Okay, so does this get thrown out on summary judgment?
No.
No, this goes to trial. Next up, we got intrusion upon seclusion. Intrusion upon seclusion. I spelled it wrong. Get rid of that U, put the U over here. There we go. What must defendant first do?
Well, the defendant must basically invade. It's like a special form of invasion of privacy, so they have to intentionally, physically enter.
So there's an intentional act, and the act must do what?
Invade the plaintiff's private matter.
Private matters. All right, before we go ahead, I think we got intentional down, right? Intentional means what?
Like mens rea, like you meant to do it.
Mens rea. Ooh, very good, I like that. Yeah, you have to mean to do it. Okay, private matters?
Non-public.
Something that has no public value.
Yeah.
It's personal. Okay, good. What also must happen?
The invasion is offensive to the reasonable person.
Invasion equals offensive. Oh, there it is again. They use a reasonable person standard. Why do you think the court uses a reasonable person standard as opposed to just asking the plaintiff?
I think you'd be biased.
Exactly. If I'm suing someone for money, aren't I going to sit back and be like, oh yeah, I'm just absolutely completely broken. And I was shocked. Whether you were or not, because you are biased. You're trying to get money. So the court basically takes a step back and leaves it up to the jury. If these jury members were flies on the wall and they saw it, would they be offended? Okay, good. Anything else?
It has to cause emotional distress or mental anguish.
Oh, there we go again. We got causation. Anguish. Or distress. All right. Well, let's look. I think we've already potentially established that we have an intrusion upon a private matter. Yeah, what would be the private matter?
Funeral
of?
A dead soldier.
And what's the relation of the dead soldier to the plaintiff? It was his son. You can't get much more private than the death of a child. All right? Would the average reasonable person think that that type of invasion is offensive?
Yes,
I think so. And was he able to show that he suffered anguish and distress?
Yes.
All right, very good. Does this get knocked out on summary judgment? No, sir. So now we have claim number two. And last but not least, oh, I'm going to put myself on the spotlight. Civil conspiracy. All right.
And by the way, this is not criminal conspiracy, but it's basically the same thing. The difference between a civil conspiracy and a criminal conspiracy is in a civil conspiracy, you're conspiring to do something that could cause damages to somebody. You're not necessarily breaking a law. All right, so the first element, D must enter into an agreement with at least another person. Two, do something. So, D must enter into agreement, has to be at least another person. Why can't I enter an agreement with my dog?
Dogs aren't people.
Okay, what about my truck?
That's not a person.
What about the tree?
Not a person.
What's the difference?
It's not a sentient being.
They have civil rights or civil liberties.
A tree, a dog, a truck, they have no civil liberties or civil rights. They're not sentient. They're just a thing. What if it was a corporation?
That we could.
Oh, that we could, because remember, the law treats corporations like people. All right, good. All right, and not only are we going to enter an agreement, of course, obviously, we're intending to do this. What are we intending to do? To do something. Okay, what is the something? It could either be a tort or a wrong. Could either be a tort or some other wrong. So, I have to potentially do something that could result in the intentional infliction of emotional distress. I have to do something that could potentially result in an intrusion upon seclusion. All right. Is just entering into the agreement enough to be found liable for conspiracy? No. D must also make an act to complete. Simply making an agreement isn't enough. You have to do something to set yourself in the motion of doing it. And lastly, plaintiff must show they suffered some type of harm or economic loss as a result of the act. So, in order to be fined civilly liable of civil conspiracy, it must be linked to other torts. So here, Westboro Baptist could be found liable because Phelps conspired with whom?
With the church.
With other members of the church. Did they make actions to complete the wrongful acts? They actually traveled from Kansas all the way to Maryland, talked to a cop, found out where the public space was, made up their signs, and stood out for half an hour before the funeral. All right. They could show all that, plaintiff, so it was brought in. Questions on any of the torts? FYI, you might want to make sure you got all the elements for the three that were involved in the case. Just saying. Hint, hint, hint. All right. So what happened during the trial? Was Snyder able to prove the three torts that we talked about?
Yes.
Did he convince the jury of the existence of those torts?
Yes.
Did the jury find for the plaintiff or the defendant? They found for the plaintiff, so they found for Dad, Schneider. How much so?
$2.9 million.
Oh, hold on. I got a whole bunch of numbers. We got $2.9 million? Well, how did you pronounce the first one?
I don't know.
How did you pronounce the second one? Compensatory damages and punitive. Actually, it's punitive damages. Okay. What the hell does that mean? What's compensatory damages? What's the purpose of those damages?
That is supposed to make up for the act that they did, directly paying for whatever damages.
Yeah, what's the root of the word? Compensate. Yeah. So he was able to show that a result of his emotional distress, he suffered upwards of $3 million in damages. And by the way, you know how you show it? You prove that you can't hold a job. You show your medical bills. You show proof of your prescriptions if you need to go on medication. You show that you lost friends, that you lost relationships, that you can't get it up. That's actually what you can show. That if you don't have sex, that's called loss of consortium. So all of those things have monetary value. So he was able to show it, the jury gave it to him. What's punitive? What's the purpose?
So I can punish.
The purpose of punitive damages is to punish! Is it meant just to punish the defendant? No. It's meant to send a signal to the rest of society not to do this type of stuff. Last question. Did Westboro Baptist Church have to pay $10.9 million? What did the trial judge do?
He reduced the trial motion.
He reduced it. Why? Is that reasonable? So he reduced it down to 2.1. All right, that's where we're going to stop because we're out of time. We will come back. We will look and see if Phelps was satisfied with that outcome or if he appealed. And then we will look at the result of that appeal, and then we will see if both parties were happy with the appeal, or was there a potential mistake that resulted in going up to the SCOTUS. My advice is, make sure you go through not just the summary at the top, go all the way down to the bottom of the case, and find the conversation that the court has in not only trying to determine as if this is a public or a private matter, but also whether this matter is worthy of First Amendment protection.